Are you under attack? Pastor Dave has a recommendation for you.
If there are people who are fighting against you, let God fight against them. Say, God, you stick up for me. The problem is we don't do well when we start to defend ourselves. And we do even worse when we go on the offensive to crush someone who's done something against us. And so it's such a good approach if you're feeling under attack to say, God, will you deal with that person? Will you deal with that situation? Lord, I need you to defend me. I need you to work on my behalf.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Your friend of 20 years turns their back on you when you need them the most, and for no good reason. Your spouse says, we're through. We face betrayals like this throughout life, and today's psalm has just the comfort we need to hear at such times. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Roth takes us to Psalms 35 and 36, where King David is crying out to the Lord as his life is in danger. And as he does, he presents a beautiful portrait of how to respond when we're betrayed or under attack. Here's Pastor Dave.
Psalm 35, David knew what it was like to be under attack. He knew what it was like for people to wish bad things on him, and they were literally trying to kill him. Maybe you feel that way sometimes, but mostly people aren't trying to kill you. They're just trying to make your life miserable. And so he's crying out to the Lord here in Psalm 35, and I like the emphasis of the first verse. He says, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. And that is such a wise thing to do. If there are people who are fighting against you, let God fight against them. Say, God, you stick up for me. The problem is we don't do well when we start to defend ourselves. And we do even worse when we go on the offensive to crush someone who's done something against us. And so it's such a good approach if you're feeling under attack to say, God, will you deal with that person? Will you deal with that situation? Lord, I need you to defend me. I need you to work on my behalf. As many people have said, if you defend yourself, God will let you. But if you let God defend you, he will do it much better. I think sometimes God lets you defend yourself until you get completely punched out and completely exhausted. And then he says, okay, do you want me to take care of this now? Because, and I've had more than my share probably of people attacking me in one way or another in my life, but the times when I fought back and the times when I went on the offense, most of the time I really regretted it. Even if you win, you lose. It's so much better to just take it and just say, God, you've got a problem here. I'm your child. You've promised to protect me, and someone's trying to hurt me. So, God, would you just deal with this for me? And God loves to do that. He really wants to do it. And so that's what David, and then he goes into details. Take hold of shield and buckler. Stand up for my help. Draw out the spear. Stop those who pursue me. He's going, God, I want you to defend me, and here are some ways that you can do it. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hid their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And it's amazing how many times that'll happen. If you let God defend you, the people who would be doing things against you, it comes back on them, falls back on them. You don't want to be the person who's out there trying to, you know, take vengeance, because God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. And he does it much better than we could. Now, as we see David just expressing from his heart, God, go after them, trap them, hunt them down, spear them, barbecue them. He's very human. He's not pretending like, oh God, I only want good things to happen to them. Now, in the New Testament, more, we discover that because of the grace that came from the cross, we can actually pray for blessings to come on our enemies. David, some days was that way, but some days he was just like, God, get them. Please get them. And it's amazing to me that though we might consider this to be a really unspiritual sort of prayer, God says that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit because it's in the scriptures. God chose to preserve it. You wonder why. I mean, does God really, somebody's hassling you at work, someone's saying bad things about you, do you really, could you pray God chase him down, hunt him down, trap him, spear him, destroy him? That's foreign to us, that kind of thinking. And, you know, we might put it in a more modern vernacular and go, God, run over him with a truck or something like that. But it's like, wow, that sounds so unspiritual. Now, it's just one of those things, though, where all I know is when God heard this prayer, he not only understood it, but he said, I want to keep this one. I like this. I like what you're saying. So make whatever you want out of that. I think so often we guard our feelings so much. We're so afraid to just be human. We're so afraid to admit what we're thinking. And so God listens to David thinking this way and says, okay, I understand. Now, it still doesn't mean that God's going to do it, because every prayer is according to God's will. And so ultimately, God hopefully had better plans for some of David's enemies, that they would repent and turn. And some of the guys who were the greatest attackers of David ended up becoming loyal to him. But some of them ended up in pits. Some of them ended up on the end of a spear. And if you have a problem with that or don't like that, well, don't attack me. It might happen to you. No, I'm... But I just like, David pours his heart out. He's going, man, this is how I feel. But give him credit. He was a guy who could go kill somebody. And instead, he was saying, God, you do it. You take care of them. He had the capacity, think about it, twice at least, he had an opportunity to kill Saul when Saul was hunting him down, and he refused to do it. So if you're thinking about doing damage to someone, just pray instead. Just ask God to take care of them. You can trust his judgment. He knows what's best. And so that's what David is doing. He goes on and talking about, they're rising up against me. They ask me things that I don't know. So this could even be talking about a teacher that he didn't like. Probably not. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. I saw this verse the other day in verse 11, and I was thinking of people who call pastors perspective and trying to trip you up with some tough question. They ask me things that I do not know. And so I just pray that God will take care of them. No, not really. And then he goes, he said, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. So he's saying, some of these people, man, I did a lot for them. When bad things were happening to them, I felt bad for them. I was mourning and praying for them and crying out for them. And that's when it hurts the most. You know, when you've, there are people that you've tried to help and you've done things for them and you've reached out to them and you cared, and now they've turned on you. And that's what David is saying. Man, it's not like we've always been enemies. I love some of these people, and here they're trying to destroy me. And so he's saying, this is what I've done to them. And so it's a reminder to us, too, before you get around to a prayer like that, is this someone that you've tried to bless? Is this someone that you've cared about and prayed for and reached out to? And so he says, but in my adversity, they rejoiced. They're responding to what I'm going through in an ungodly way, and they make fun of me. Lord, verse 17, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. And then in verse 19, let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. Again, if you have an enemy, make sure that it isn't because you've done something to them. Make sure that it isn't your cruelty that now they're trying to pay you back. And here, you know, so often I think that's the case. We have enemies, but there's a good reason why they don't like us, why they are upset with us. And so he's just saying, you know, I've done good to them. Don't let people who are wrongfully my enemy, don't have a reason. They don't speak peace. So how about us? Is what we say, are we speaking peace? Are we really trying to reach out? Or do we just tend to speak war and speak division and try to stir things up and make things worse? He says, they opened their mouth wide against me, verse 21, and said, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. People that are just rubbing it in. And he said, this you have seen, O Lord, don't keep silence. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Don't let them say, oh, so we would have it. We got it. We won. We beat them down. Verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. These prayers of a godly man, David, who's saying, there are some people who are just out to get me. God, would you deal with them? I've tried to be good to them. I've tried to speak peace to them. I've reached out to them, and it's just not happening. And so, God, would you take care of it? And then on the other hand, if they change and for those other people who are good, Lord, we'll rejoice. I'll give you credit for whatever you do in turning this thing around. Ultimately, that's what we should want. Our desire and our problems with people should never be to win. Our desire should never be that we are going to prevail. Our desire should be that we would see God's hand at work. And so if there's someone who right now is kind of after you or giving you a hard time, that's okay. And if you feel kind of frustrated and you just want God to deal with them, that's fine too. But the bottom line is, I want to see God work in such a way that those who are trying to be my enemies can't help but not. And then I'll praise God for what he has done. That's the end that I ultimately would like to see. Psalm 36, David's still a bit upset with some of the people who are around him, and he says, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. He's going, I'm going to write a poem about bad people. Not many people do that. Sometimes I think maybe it would be okay for us to do that, and it would get it off our chest a little better than to try to pretend like it's not there. And so he says, here it goes. Here's my song. Now think about this. How would you like to sing this song during worship? They did. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit, la, la, la. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Nice song. Now, I wonder when you sing it, I'd like to dedicate this song. I'm sending this out too, and you can think of someone that you might do that for. I just think it's kind of funny that David was just, what you see is what you get. He poured it out, and this is what he was feeling. But then he shifts gears a bit and says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. There's a third day song that comes from those two verses. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. So he goes from saying, man, look at these dirt bags, these people who just don't care about what's right. But God, then I take my eyes off of them and I put them on you. And God, you're amazing. You're merciful. You're faithful. You're righteous. God, you keep us. You preserve us. And then just on into worship, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. It's okay if you start out by being upset with people. It's okay if what drives you to your knees, what drives you to the Lord is, God, I'm so frustrated. Lord, this is just not right. It's wrong. But the point is that brings you to the Lord's presence. That brings you to talking to him. And the next thing you know is you're focusing on the Lord. You're just going, God, you are so good. You're so kind. We can depend on you. And it's kind of like saying, God, I'm sorry that I got so upset about what is going on with these people when I realize I am your person. And as a result, I can find my protection and my help in you. So please don't believe that God gets upset if you come to him and you're upset. And you don't think that when you start complaining to God that he goes, oh, I'm so sick of hearing you complain. He'll go ahead, say what you got to say. Is there anything else that you want to get off your chest? Anything else you want to say? And as you talk yourself out to God, invariably, you just start to feel kind of stupid. And you start going, God, it's true what I said about those people, but man, you're good. And I believe that if you talk to God long enough, you'll end up praising him. You can't help it. But so often, Satan will cause us to feel like we can't tell God how we really feel. Like, man, am I mad. And so as a result, we just don't talk to God at all. So often, we don't talk to him because we're mad. It's like, you know, sometimes if you're married, you're afraid to start having a conversation with your spouse sometimes because you're just afraid what you're going to say. I don't think this is a good time for us to have a talk. And it's like, you know, there are times when it's like, well, can we pray? And you feel like, I don't even want to pray with you right now. I'm afraid I'll start going, Lord, shatter the teeth of the wicked. And so, but see, that's what the enemy does. He keeps us from communicating. And then we never do get around to praise. The truth is, once we talk it out, once we start saying what these people are, here's what happens. I start complaining to God about these evil people. And then I start going, they don't even care about you. And then I'm like, oh, but I do. I care about you. I'm on your side. And next thing I know, I'm looking at the Lord, looking unto Jesus, and praise starts coming forth. So just talk to him. Communicate with him. I like this where he says in verse 9, with you is the fountain of life. It all comes from you. Everything that matters, everything that there is that sustains us just flows forth from you. So all I want to do is get as close to him as I can. And what comes out is life. Jesus explained this time and time again, that if you come to him, if you drink from the water that he gives, it flows forth into everlasting life. The richness, the fullness, the beauty of everything that's best about life comes from him. The fountain of life does not lie with our success in business. It doesn't even lie with family and friends. It doesn't lie with your team winning the World Series. It doesn't lie with any of those kinds of things. It's him. And anything else that he brings into our life as a blessing is just something that flows forth from him. So the smart thing to do is to stay close to the fountain, to stay close to, as they say, the spout where the glory comes out. And because as we're close to him, then we get everything that he wants us to have. And the rest of that verse, in your light, we see light. That is, you know, it's a dark world. It's only God that can make sense of anything. And this statement, I love it. One of my college professors took it as kind of his life verse. In your light, we see light. Because see, if you stay close to the Lord, ultimately his light shines on everything else. But his light's moving around. His eyes are going to and fro. And so if you study something long enough, you'll end up seeing something of God. I believe that if you devote your life to studying science, for instance, ultimately through studying science, you're going to discover some marvelous things about God. I think that if you really pour yourself into music, you'll ultimately see something divine in not just the lyrics, but even the music itself. I think in any field, in mathematics, my son and I were talking about this the other night, how mathematics is, it's the only real, true, hard thing that's just objective right and wrong. And as you study mathematics, it's amazing how there are these almost mystical elements to it, numbers that keep coming up again, patterns that are there. Mathematics is just a pure discovery of how our minds work, and not only that, how existence is. And I believe that you can study math and find God in math. But here's the thing, and that's true of every other field as well. But here's the deal. If it's in his light that we see light, then we should really become experts in what he says, because now we are in the sphere of what he knows. And then if we take him to science and we take him to math and we take him to music and the arts and psychology and whatever, if we're listening to what he has to say, it's in his light that we see light. Now, if you want, you can study something long enough. And think of it as if we blackened this room and took a flashlight and started shining it around the room. The earth is God's creation, but there's a darkness that has set in because of the fall. And so as a result, the only light that we have is the light that God sheds. Now, if this room was dark and there was a flashlight that was kind of randomly moving around, I could walk over to that wall and just start staring at the wall. And eventually, the light would probably come through and I'd see a little piece of the wall and I'd go, wow, that's great. Or I could follow the light. And if I follow the light, ultimately, I would see everything in the room. It just comes down to where you start from. If you realize that it's only in his light that we see light, then nothing that we can ever learn, nothing we can ever understand makes sense apart from him. So if you stick with him, he sheds light on everything else.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now let's return to Psalm 36.
Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Now look at this. He's going, God, there's those bad people out there, and I'm not one of those. I just glorify you. I love you. I worship you. And he starts thinking, God, don't let me fool myself. Don't let me end up becoming the victim of just disobeying you, of taking you for granted. Don't let the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. So looking at those who have paid the price of their rebellion and saying, God, don't let me be like that. See, everyone in this world, for the most part, thinks that they're right. They believe that they're doing the right things. They believe that their positions are correct. You know, there aren't people who in this country who there's an election coming and they think, you know, I think that these propositions are bad, but, you know, I'm going to vote for them anyway because I'd love to squash the educators and the whoever, the labor unions and everything. Nobody thinks that. People are divided because some people believe that, you know, it's right to do what the governor wants to do, and there are other people who believe it's right to not do what the governor is doing. And that's why we have, I mean, we have two major political parties, and then we have a whole bunch of random little political parties, and they all think they're correct. They all believe that they're right. They can't all be right. It may be that God wants to allow those. Now, not one of us is objective. Not one of us can say, I have this higher knowledge and information at my disposal, unless we're just simply submitting ourselves to God. And even then, we bring a prejudice to the table. And so David here closes by just saying, you know what, don't let me do what I'm accusing them of. Don't let me be end up being one of the bad guys.
We'll head into Psalms 37 and 38 tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play, wake up my